Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is the Son of Man that God the Father has sealed." Then they said to Jesus, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom God has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation, please be seated. And I think some children are here. I would invite the children who have come this day to come forward and help a little bit with the sermon this morning. Hi, Ella. May and Gwynny, good to see you guys. Thank you. Have a seat. How many of you can read books? Yeah. How many of you like picture books? Yeah. How many of you have heard of a book called Where's Waldo? Can you tell me what that book is about? Funky pictures. It's usually pretty hard. Reason I ask you, because in our story today, everybody is looking for who? Not Waldo, but Jesus. That's right. And it made me think about, where's Waldo? Where's Jesus? But is Jesus hiding? No. How do we see him? Is he wearing red and white stripes?
No.
We don't think so. Maybe though, but how do we know? How do we find Jesus? Will he come to us if we ask? I think so. So if we say our prayers, I think Jesus will be with us. Sometimes we see Jesus when we help other folks. Because Jesus said, when you help the hungry or the person who is in prison, there I will be also, and then you will find me. So the good thing about Jesus, is he hiding from us? No, he's not. He wants to be in our lives all the time, to care for each of us and to care for all of us together. And then, you know, the other way that Jesus is present is, what does he ask us to do? To love people. And when we love others, we bring the presence of Christ into the world also, because he promises to be there. Let's say a prayer together if we could, and give thanks for, if you don't mind, come on, we can hold hands, say a prayer. Dear God, we give you thanks that you come to our lives and that you never hide from us, whether it is in joy or sorrow, that you care for us each day, and that you send us in strength and peace to be your presence in the world. We give thanks for these children and give thanks that they are a blessing to us and that they are your presence in your name. All say amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. So I'm going to start off with a baseball metaphor. There's this old story. Well, it's not a story. There's this encouragement for pitchers. The phrase is, trust your stuff, which means when you go out to pitch, be confident that you can get the job done, that you can throw a fastball that's good enough to strike folks out. Because if you don't trust your stuff, you'll be hesitant, you'll be reticent, and that's the way you get beat around. This morning, I was in conversation with my dear friend Michael, and he asked me how I felt. And I said, well, pretty good. And he said, well, just pretty good. And the reason was I was only pretty good is because I wasn't really at that moment trusting my stuff. Brothers and sisters, don't get into the pulpit unless you trust your stuff. But one of the ways that it happens is, well, the children are encouragement, and you know, we ask Christ to be with us each day. We ask the Spirit to be with us. I start each time in the name of Jesus, who's got good stuff. So here we go. And the conversation that Michael and I had will become a metaphor. So hang on to that. If I entitled this sermon, it would be Conversation as Faith. So first of all, I want you to remember that great story in the Gospel of John, the story of the woman at the well. Jesus is just speaking to one person there, but he's bringing her along through that conversation through stages of understanding of who she is and then of who he is. Today's story, Jesus is doing the same thing, but he's speaking to a whole crowd. How many did he feed? I should have mentioned that earlier. This is an extension. This day's lesson is an extension of the feeding of the 5,000. And now they're all looking for Jesus. Where is he? Where did he go? And he joins them in conversation. So except for the numbers of the story, these stories are parallel in their purpose, in their dynamic. Jesus is drawing out a kind of self-understanding of who the folks are. What are you looking for? More bread? He's asking them, what is the desire of your heart? To use a famous theologian's phrase, what is your real concern, your ultimate concern? What takes the majority of your life, your thoughts? What is your life? And he's asking all these questions with the purpose of revealing not just themselves, who they are, what they love, what they like, what makes them who they are, but also an understanding of Jesus. So that question is, which is when he starts the very Gospel of John with, who are you looking for? As he says to his new disciples, come and see. My purpose is to give you something more than loaves, but eternal life. So this conversation itself reveals the dynamics of faith. People being invited into trust in this very conversation, these very exchanges with Jesus, to be in relationship, in words, made flesh, if you will, Jesus, the Word made flesh, into faith, into an abiding, living relationship with Jesus, and so with the very one who sent him. And to set aside, confess, if you will, our old ways, our old life, to have hope and an openness of heart for something new. In conversation with one woman, or with the crowd of 5,000. And now we read, the world reads, the whole world reads with the same questions being presented to us. What are you looking for? What are you hoping for in your lives? What is your meaning? What is your purpose? What is most important to you? Enter into the conversation with me, Jesus says. Read the story. Can you too be fed? Do you trust that it is possible? Jesus had fed the people because what conversation can happen on a hungry stomach? When folks don't have the very basic necessities of life, how can conversation occur? How can relationship even occur? The bread was literally equated to life in those days. Bread was at least 50% of what the people ate. So when we said bread, life was understood. But abundant life, as is talked about in the Gospel of John, appears hollow if the very fundamentals of life are not given, if there are no loaves, if there is nothing to eat. So it is right, as we will do later on, to pray as the Lord has taught us, give us today our daily bread. The loaves not only gave life, but they illustrated through Jesus' relationship with the people that they were deserving of life, that they mattered to God. The loaves were physical food and spiritual food. Like the bread we eat and will eat later on, with the words, not only bread alone, but with the words of promise, of forgiveness, of new life, the promise of care and love, in conversation with Almighty God. The spiritual food that endures was their relationship with Jesus, who cares for them, who brings life. So it is not simply being fed with loaves, and it is not simply the works anyone might do. For instance, even such a good work as feeding others. And you can hear Jesus leading the people through these self-understandings. Is it more loaves that you need? Or is it the works that you do or that you see me do? But no, this is what faith is about. To do the work of God. To believe. Not simply that Jesus was sent by God, but trusting that in his sending he is giving life. Is that not the only truth of who he is, sent to give life? Isn't that his sign? And how do we understand it? Isn't there only just one true sign? By his very encounter and concern for others, by the loaves, by the bread of conversation, by the food of care and attention, by the food of God's desire and prayer and life for you. They are engaged in this signage, if you will. They are part of it. It's not happening outside of them. They are in conversation. They are in giving and receiving. They are abiding with Jesus as they hear, as they converse, as they ask, as they pray. They are invited as they leave old worlds of just loaves or of just works and enter into the promise of relationship, of being daughters and sons of the living God. As we read, are we not also invited into this same process of conversation with God through Christ Jesus our Lord? Jesus speaks to each of us and to all of us and feeds us. Ever it has been God's intention. According to the scripture, we remember last week we were reading about Elisha, who also fed and the loaves were expanded from our Hebrew scripture. And today, the lesson once again that Jody read of manna from heaven coming to the people who were hungry in the wilderness. Today we recollect also with Jesus' dialogue partners. Shall we say, as we become ourselves dialogue partners, the feeding in the wilderness. The miracle is God's continuous presence with us, invitation to us, words and promises with us, conversation, abiding. We do not enter into faith by the supernatural, rather by entering through conversation, asking the questions, looking for God in the invitation, the promises, the presence, and in the lives of others. All of this you can see as Jesus is in conversation with the crowd leading up to this final point, this gift of, I am the bread of life. I have come for you. And this gift God gives freely, not because of any works, but as we know, if we reflect on our own lives, our own relationships, does not conversation sometimes get strained, gets one-sided, perhaps falls into anger or despair or cynicism? Words become weapons. The absence of them become estrangement. Was not this Jesus' experience eventually, even with those closest to him? And as we search our hearts, shall I say, as we even search the heart of our nation and ask, is it so with us? Is this not why the story moves to the cross? Because God's invitation to abundant life, to share it with others, to enter into relationship with Jesus and his mission to feed and care for all, to bring a new age, a new world, simply was too threatening to old ways, to old conversations, to old self-understandings. Today also, it seems, and so much even with the church. And so, upon the cross, conversation is ended. But the forgiveness of the resurrection, or is it the resurrection of forgiveness, proclaims that Jesus is the true bread of life, which we celebrate today, his body broken for us, enduring the depths of brokenness, the death of relationship, abandonment, rejection, to feed us once more and forevermore with God's love, to speak words of forgiveness and the promise of life. As we live our lives, as we gather together, we know that conversation is a hopeful thing. It promises to bring us into new understandings with others, of ourselves, of the world into which God is calling us in Christ Jesus. I like to get together with the children, and I like that it's not staged because I don't know what they're going to say. But it's conversation. It brings out new things, new understandings. I always learn something about myself, but also about the faith. We despair of words these days. We disparage conversation in our public life. And if words are hopeful, it seems only hopeful for a few. Others are turned away or silenced. We seem to talk only to our own kind. I can't tell you how often I just don't want to listen to things anymore. I haven't had the TV on for 2 years now, by the way. And we turned it on once in Minnesota, and by golly, there was a fight immediately. Words are difficult sometimes. But the model of Christ, his message of abundance, sadly has become a threat. Greatness, life itself, is limited, excluded, scarce in our conversation these days. So many words, conversations, become monologues, really, enshrine a false reality, but so often it is called truth. But his true bread from the cross, Jesus feeds us still, calling us once more into conversation, into words of life, words of hope, calling us into conversation certainly with those with whom we disagree, but also especially into conversation of care and feeding with those who are in need, to listen, to give voice to the hopeless, to be present, to lift up what we call real presence, Christ's presence, to feed, to hear, to embrace, to be bread. In Jesus' name, amen.